Let's stand and sing to the Lord tonight. Come praise and glorify our God, the Father of our Lord. In Christ he has in heavenly realms his blessings on us pour. For pure and blameless in his sight he destined us to be. And now we've been adopted through his Son eternally. To the praise of your glory, to the praise of your mercy and grace, to the praise of your glory, you are the God who saves. Come praise and glorify our God who gives his grace in Christ. In him our sins are washed away, redeemed through sacrifice. In him God has made known to us the mystery of his will, that Christ should be the head of all his purpose to fulfill. To the praise of your glory, to the praise of your mercy and grace, to the praise of your glory, you are the God who saves. Come praise and glorify our God, for we've believed the word, and through our faith we have a seal, the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit guarantees our hope until redemption's done, until we join in endless praise to God the three in one. To the praise of your glory, to the praise of your mercy and grace, to the praise of your glory, you are the God who saves. To the praise of your glory, to the praise of your mercy and grace, to the praise of your glory, you are the God who saves. No list of sins I have not done, no list of virtues I pursue, no list of those I am not like can earn myself a place with you. Oh God, be merciful to me. I am a sinner through and through. My only hope of righteousness is not in me, but only you. No humble dress, no fervent prayer, no lifted hands, no tearful song, no recitation of the truth can justify a single wrong. My righteousness is Jesus' life. My debt was paid by Jesus' death. My weary load was borne by him, and he alone can give me rest. No separation from the world, no worry. work I do, no gift I give can cleanse my conscience, cleanse my hands. I cannot cause my soul to live, but Jesus died and rose again. The power of death is overthrown. My God is merciful to me, and merciful in Christ alone. My righteousness is Jesus' life. My debt was paid by Jesus' death. My weary load was borne by Him, and He alone can give me rest. My righteousness is Jesus' life. My debt was paid by Jesus' death. My weary load was borne by Him, and He alone can give me rest.
Amen. Thank you for being here this evening. Before you sit down, let's take some time to greet one another, okay? You can make your way back to your seat tonight. I'm going to ask for our ushers to come forward. We always enjoy seeing our kids come and sing. I know they work hard on those songs each and every week. I'm thankful for our workers in the back who are working with our children and planting seeds in their heart. The gospel message through song, it'll probably stick for them forever. But we're glad to be here tonight and to be able to worship. I hope that you're here to worship and ready to worship. We've been going through the book of Colossians together, and the people who've been leading us through Colossians are some of the young men in our church who feel a call to teach and to preach, and so they're really cutting their teeth through this study of Colossians. And tonight Nathaniel will be preaching after we sing a couple more songs, and so be praying for Nathaniel as he comes. He'll be in Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 18, going all the way through chapter 4, verse 1. Looking at our roles in the family setting. And so just be praying for him as he's been preparing, and that he will share what God has laid on his heart, all right? Let's bow together and let's pray. God, we do thank you for another opportunity to be here today. God, we know that's only by your grace that we're here, and so we're thankful for that. God, we're thankful that we had the blessing of being able to hear our kids sing and voice praises to you. And God, as I already mentioned, I'm so thankful for our workers in the back working with our children and those who are working with our youth as well. And just the hard work that they put into that and the time and effort, I pray that you would bless them for that. God, here right now, be with us, God, as we sing these songs. Be with Nathaniel as he brings your word here in a moment. Just use him and speak through him. Calm any nerves. Just help him with his words, with his thoughts. And just God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would really work through him here tonight in this place. And then, God, of course, we want to pray for the offering. Use what's given for your kingdom purposes, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Darkness hides his lovely face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. He shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Should nothing of our effort stand, no legacy survive, unless the Lord does raise the house, in vain its builders strive. To you who boast tomorrow's gain, tell me, what is your life? A mist that vanishes at dawn. All glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ, our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ. His will be done, his kingdom come, on earth as is above. Who is himself our daily bread, praise him, the Lord of love. Let living water satisfy the thirsty without price. We'll take a cup of kindness, yet all glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ, our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ. When on the day the great I am, the faithful and the true, the Lamb who was for sinners slain is making all things new. Behold, our God shall live with us and be our steadfast light, and we shall e'er his people be. All glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ, our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ, our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ. You may be seated.
Evening. No clue. But tonight I'm going to be discussing what Paul wrote in Colossians about the Christian family and bringing your children up in a Christian home and being Christian role models for your children and bringing these kids here to sing is part of that. You're bringing these children here to hear God's word and then to sing God's word to us as a congregation. Also, listening to the music that Pastor Matt picked out this evening, also a blessing, because as I'm sitting there going over my notes to begin to preach this evening, I just listened to the words of the song and thought, God, you're amazing. You reaffirmed what you had already given me through my studies over the past couple of weeks, just through the song. So before we get started in Colossians, though, first I would like to pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you for the time of worship, Lord, through the children and the song that you had them sing and brought to us, Lord, and through the worship that Pastor Matt brought us. This time of worship and fellowship where we get to come to you, Lord, and just praise you. And Lord, I pray that you'll be with me this evening and be with the congregation. Open our hearts and our minds as we read your word and dissect it this evening. And Lord, I pray that you just speak through me. Help the words to flow out of me as your vessel, Lord, and into our hearts and our minds. Be with us throughout the remainder of the evening, Lord. In your heavenly holy name I pray. Amen. So as Pastor Tim mentioned, we are still in Colossians, and we are going to be in Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 18. But before we get to Colossians tonight, I wanted to go and go back to Matthew, actually, in Matthew chapter 7, and see what Jesus had said about homes. In Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24, it says, "Everyone, then, who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house and fell. And great was the fall of it." Now Jesus has given us instructions through this parable about building our house, building our home. He's given us instructions to build our home on a firm foundation. Jesus, who is our rock, our firm foundation, has instructed us to build our homes on him, through him. And then Paul goes into it in Colossians chapter 3 with the instructions for the Christian household. After we've put on our new self, after we have taken off our old self, like we discussed the past 2 weeks, he instructs us to take that home and to build our homes on the firm foundation. Now, as I was preparing for tonight's sermon, I had doubts. I had nervousness. I had fear. I didn't know how I was going to formulate this message, and I don't know why I was so stuck on that, so stuck on the nervousness, the doubt, the fear. And Satan just took that doubt, that fear, that nervousness, all of those feelings, and he just amplified them. He made me feel inadequate as I was trying to prepare for this message. He made me feel like I wasn't qualified to even bring this message to you guys. And I thought to myself, how can I deliver this message? What kind of knowledge do I have on a Christian household? Yes, I am married, but we've only been married for 8 years. Yes, we are Christians, but we don't have any kids. I didn't feel fit. I didn't feel qualified. I didn't feel like I was an expert in this particular text to be bringing this message to a congregation of people of all ages. And I didn't know how I was going to be able to speak those words. And then through prayer and through God's revelation through his word, I realized that I was correct the entire time. I am not qualified. Me, I am not qualified to bring this message, to bring these words. However, as we read in chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." God has qualified me. God has given me the qualifications to bring this message, to bring his word. God is supreme, and that is what we learned in the first two chapters of Colossians, is God's supremacy. And through God's supremacy, we have been qualified to share his word. The first two chapters dealt with God's supremacy. The second two chapters deal with our submission to God through his supremacy. God is the head of the body of Christ, and we are to submit to the head of the body of Christ. And as we have seen over the past few weeks, through God's supremacy and our submission, we are made new. In the last couple of weeks, we talked about removing our old selves through Christ and putting on our new selves. And once we have done that, the first charge that Paul gives us is to take our new self and take it home and apply it within our household so that we can make our houses a Christian home. Now, Paul also was not qualified in this particular subject. Paul was a single man, a tent maker. However, God qualified him. And in the set of verses that we are going to be reading tonight, we're going to see what Paul has to say through Christ about the Christian household. Now, starting in Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 18 all the way through chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service, as people pleasers, but with sincerity in your heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Now these verses, they're pretty cut and dry, clear, to the point. Paul goes on, he gives you step-by-step instructions. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. But in doing that, I want to just kind of look back a little bit at what Pastor Matt brought us last week in chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. And I just want to read that. And that helps your foundation for your Christian household. Now, starting in verse 12 of chapter 3, it says, "Put on then, as God's chosen one, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." Now in those verses, we see some key elements: compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing each other's burdens, forgiving one another. And as part of a family, I'm sure you've realized that that happens a lot. You need to have a compassionate heart being part of a family. You need to be kind, humble, meek at some points, patient. You need to help your family by bearing their burdens and forgiving one another. We are all part of a family. And at times, our families, they can get on our nerves. I'll admit, I've got 3 siblings. They get on my nerves all the time. But looking over this list, we do practice those things on that list. The compassionate heart, patience, some more than others, bearing each other's burdens. I know I can go to my brothers when I need them. Because a family is who you can trust, is who you can count on. A family is who you can go to in times of need. Family is very important to our growth as individuals. And to have a Christian family that is founded on the rock, it makes all the difference. So by applying these things in verses 12 and 13, it helps us to build our Christian homes. It helps us to found our homes on the rock, on Jesus. And before we break down the verses that I did just read, verses 18 through 4:1, I wanted to flip over to Ephesians 5 real quick. Now, Paul also wrote in Ephesians a very similar letter that he wrote in Colossians. In Ephesians 5, 22 through 33, we see a little bit more of a broader spectrum of what Paul is talking about instead of the cut and dry to the point. Paul starts relating it to our Christian walk, to our lifestyle with Jesus. And so in Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 22, it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. His body is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So right there in Ephesians, Paul goes on to say that wives submitting to their husbands is just like us submitting to God. Husbands loving their wives is just like Jesus loving his church so much so that he died for us. So back over to Colossians, Colossians verse 18 says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord." Paul says for the wives to submit. And a lot of people look at submit being a bad thing, being a bad word, and they're like, oh my gosh, why are they saying women need to submit to their husbands? That's ridiculous. Don't they know it's 2017? We don't do that anymore. Submit is not a bad thing. It's not a bad word. And people viewing submission as a bad thing, it's wrong. In this text, it's wrong. It's not what you're thinking. When a wife submits to her husband, it's a submission out of love. She is submitting to her husband because she loves her husband. And just because she's submitting to her husband doesn't make her any less than her husband. When God created Eve, he created Eve as a helpmate or a partner for Adam. He didn't create Eve as a lesser being than Adam. He created Eve to build Adam up, to lift Adam up, to care for Adam, to help Adam. In this context, submission is a submission of love. The wife should want to care for her husband. The wife should want to work with her husband. The wife should want to listen and follow her husband and lift her husband up in times of need. It's a submission of love. Just as we as Christians should submit to our Lord as a submission of love. Now, you can't have a submission of love if you don't have the next verse. And if you guys out there notice, Paul didn't end his letter with, "Wives, submit to your husbands as it is fitting to the Lord," and just stop there. Because the next verse is very important to you guys, us husbands. Verse 19 says, "Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them." You want to make your wife want to submit to you. You can't be harsh with your wife. You want to love your wife. Because otherwise, your wife's not going to want to submit to you. Just as Christ Jesus loved us so much that he was willing to die for us, we need to care for our wives. We need to love our wives. We need to give our wives a reason to submit. We need to show the love that Jesus has showed us. Jesus loved the church so much so that he died for us. Now, guys, think about this. You married men out there. Are you willing to love your wife so much so that you're willing to lay down your life and die for her? Have you given your wife a reason to submit? Have you been Christ-like in your marriage? Jesus has given us a reason to submit to him. We should submit ourselves to God because he loves his children. We are his children. Now, Paul goes on to talk about children in the next verse. And as children of God, we need to obey these commands. But also in these verses, as children of our parents, we need to obey them. And it says in verse 20, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." Now, first, the word children, as I was doing my studying, refers to any child who is still living under their parents' household, being supported in some way, shape, or form by their parents. So that is the term children. So if you're still living at home, you're still a children. Secondly, when Paul uses the word everything, he's obviously referring to good things. He's not referring to situations where the parent puts the child in harm or in dangerous situations or in an abusive relationship. Paul is addressing the church of Colossae. So when it says everything, he's assuming that the church there in Colossae is doing things in a manner that is pleasing to God. And then lastly, for this is pleasing to the Lord, that statement means, as in when we are submitting to his will and being obedient to our Heavenly Father, we are doing things that are pleasing to the Lord. When we are submitting to our parents, to our husbands, when we are obeying our Heavenly Father, our parents, we are doing these things and they are pleasing to the Lord. But Paul also goes on into verse 21, just like with verses 18 and 19 where they were tied together. You had your wives submitting because your husbands loved. Well, your children are obeying because your parents are doing something. And then Paul says in verse 21, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Now, first off, it starts off with fathers. I looked up the original Greek word. That word can be translated into parents. So mothers, you're not off the hook. This is for you also. So, in these verses aren't telling us not to discipline our children. It's not saying to be big softies when it comes to our kids. It is telling us not to provoke our children, not to discourage our children. We need to use the words that are used in 12 and 13, the compassionate heart, the kindness, the humility, meekness, patience. We need to use those in raising children. These verses are not saying, no, don't discipline your kids. So discipline, yes, that's a good thing. Abuse, no, that's a bad thing. Encouraging our children, absolutely. Discouraging our children, absolutely not. Giving direction to our children, advice to our children, for sure. Smothering our children, no. Giving our children some room to grow, yes. Neglecting our children, no. We need to find that balance when we're raising our children. We also need to make sure that we're bringing our children to hear the word. Bringing our children to church, raising them right, giving them good, solid examples of a Christian household. Just as God has given us a good, solid example of a Christian household. Balance. God uses balance when he disciplines us. God lets us know when we have done something that is not pleasing to him. God disciplines us as his children. But God loves us. God cares for us. God provides for us. God encourages us. And we need to encourage our children and love our children as Christ loves us. Now, as I was studying the next set of verses, I was thinking, I do not have a bondservant at home, so I'm really not an expert on this. So I started looking into it a little bit more. And you see the term bondservant, and you're thinking, bondservants, slaves. That has nothing to do with me. These verses are obviously null and void, they're old, they're outdated. Let's not even talk about it, right? No. A bondservant is anyone that owes someone a debt. So it could be similar to like an employee-employer relationship. We could go as far to compare it to that. So I know some of you out there are employers. I know some of you out there are employees. So we'll go ahead and we'll go down that road. So we'll start off with employees, because that's where the verses go. And starting in verse 22, it says, "Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not in way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord." So as employees, we may not care for our bosses. We may not like the decisions our bosses are making. We may not like things that our bosses are making us do. However, we sort of owe them a debt because they are paying our salary. They are giving us money, so in turn, we return it with a service. So whatever they ask us to do, do it. I struggle with this at work a lot. I am somewhere in the middle. I employ a certain amount of people, but I'm also employed by a certain amount of people. So I'll tell my crew, I'll be like, "Hey, I need you to do this." "Well, that's not part of our job." "Well, I'm paying you, so it is." But the Bible is clear. Paul is clear right here. It says, obey your earthly masters in whatever you do. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. So even though you're working for the man, you're still doing it to glorify God. Anything that you're doing, you should be doing to glorify God. And what we need to do is we need to respect. We need to obey any earthly masters. Anyone who is an authority over us, we need to respect as it is in charge. It's charged to us in Colossians. Do these things to glorify God, because those of us who are employers, we also need to treat our employees justly and fairly. As it says, where is it right here? For the wrongdoer, in verse 25, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. So we need to take care of our employees as well, if we are employers. Our home, our lives should be reflective of God. Once we have put on the new self, taken off the old clothes, put on the new ones, we should be reflective of God. God's supremacy allows us to take off the old and put on the new. And once we have done this, we are his servants. We are his bond servants. And as servants, we owe a debt to Christ Jesus. We owe our lives to Christ Jesus. Jesus died for us so that we might live. And we have become his bondservants. We have become bondservants of God that owe a great debt to our Lord. Now, by following this application that Paul, through Christ Jesus, who has qualified him, has laid out for us, and knowing that Jesus has paid it all for us, we see that in Colossians 3, 22 through Colossians 4, 1, has a lot to do with us, a lot more than what we thought when we saw the word bondservant. We are his. We are his bondservant. And I'll leave you with this. In Romans chapter 6, verse 18, Paul says, "And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness." Let us pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you for this message, Lord. I thank you for just revealing to us your supremacy, Lord, your almightiness. Lord, I thank you for paying that debt for us. Lord, I owe you my life. and I lay down my life for you. I pray, Lord, that you'll take these words, seed them in our hearts and our minds, help them to take root, Lord, that we will continue to apply them to our lives, and that we can show others your love, your mercy, your grace. Lord, be with us as we go away from this place. Watch over us and guide us. And help us, Lord, to fully submit to you in servitude. I pray these things in your name. Amen. Pastor Matt's going to sing a song. And
let's stand and sing. No list of sins I have not done, no list of virtues I pursue, no list of those I am not like can earn myself a place with you. Oh God, be merciful to me. I am a sinner through and through. My only hope of righteousness is not in me, but only you. No humble dress, no fervent prayer, no lifted hands, no tearful song, no recitation of the truth can justify a single wrong. My righteousness is Jesus' life. My debt was paid by Jesus' death. My weary load was borne by him, and he alone can give me rest. No separation from the world, no work I do, no gift I give can cleanse my conscience, cleanse my hands. I cannot cause my soul to live, but Jesus died and rose again. The power of death is overthrown. My God is merciful to me, and merciful in Christ alone. My righteousness is Jesus' life. My debt was paid by Jesus' death. My weary load was borne by him, and he alone can give me rest. My righteousness is Jesus' life. My debt was paid by Jesus' death. My weary load was borne by him, and he alone can give me rest.
You are dismissed. Keep in mind that there's still choirs going on, so leave them be until 7:30, which is about 6 minutes.